Hi, I'm Maddie Hockaday, also known as the Anne of this relationship.
And I'm Holly Constant, the Leslie.
We love Parks and Rec. We love behind the scenes.
And we love each other. This is literally the best Parks and Recreation rewatch show.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, everything is going. Oh my God. How's everybody doing? What is happening?
Hi. This is so fun.
I'm so excited. Okay. Well, I think that the first thing that we need to talk about, I know we usually do our therapy moment at the end, but I think the first thing we need to talk about is the exciting thing that happened to Maddie over the weekend. Tell everybody what happened, Maddie.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I got engaged over the weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the beautiful thing is that Holly was there. Yeah, and she helped plan it. And it was just better than I could have ever dreamed and imagined. And it was beautiful. And Holly, we really should post the part of the video when you come down the stairs and I just collapse. Because I did collapse. I was in a hot mess.
You literally fell on the floor.
Yeah. I think, and it's so funny because everybody, I'm crying because I'm like so happy at the memory of it.
Aww.
But I just remember everybody has been saying who watches the video, they're like, you look happier to see Holly than you do to be engaged.
That's amazing.
It's so funny because if you watch it, it totally looks like that.
I think you were just so over. I mean, like, yes, thank you. That's very sweet. But I think you were just so overwhelmed by everything that was happening.
Oh, I was, because I didn't expect it. Just like for everybody to know and Chris to know that I went and visited my mom in Tennessee. And she lives in Knoxville now. Like when she's in the States, she's in Knoxville. And Ivan, we were so understaffed at the restaurant. I tried to get him to come with me. And he's like, we just can't swing it. My mom's out of town. One of our lead managers is out of town. Like, we just can't. I can't. I was like, okay. And so we went out to dinner. I came back to the house. And Ivan was there playing the piano. And it was very sweet. And he proposed. And I was, like, very emotional. Because, first of all, he wasn't supposed to be there. It probably took me a good 45 seconds to realize that it was going to be a proposal. Even with all the candles and the rose petals.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're totally right. I was just, like, so emotional. And he just, you know, he's not a super romantic person. So, like, the fact that he put all this time into this. And then into saying just the most perfect things. And then I turn around, I'm happy, my family's there, and then Holly comes down the stairs, and I'm just like, okay, nope, that was too much.
Oh my God.
Too much emotion.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was so crazy. I mean, it's just wild to hear from, like, your end of it, because, yeah, it was a whole surprise, so I will tell you my side of it. Mm-hmm. I'll keep it abridged, but also, like, not that abridged.
It was a day, girl.
It was a whole situation. So Ivan had messaged me probably like the week before, or maybe it was the week of, I don't even know. And he was just like asking what, I mean, he had had it, the ring, I think since like January or something.
He said it arrived on my birthday.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And it just like didn't work out for the timing. And then, oh, that's my neighbor's air conditioning, which is really annoying. Hashtag old building. But anyway, so he messaged me like the week before it all happened and was like asking for ideas and like what to do. And I was like sending him all these trails in Knoxville, and he was like thinking about a restaurant. And I was like, but I know she said that she didn't really want it to be like in public. And so I was like, let's do like a small little Michael Holly moment. That could be fun, right? Like,
and
from
Holly
the office
over here is like guarding my heart, right, knowing that I don't want a public proposal. While on the other hand, he asked my mom's permission when she was here visiting, and her first thought was, do it at the Cubs game on the Jumbotron. Like, Mom,
no,
wrong.
That would have been so bad. Like, I love my Cubs, don't get me wrong, but like, no.
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, and he was thinking to do it at a restaurant, and so I was like, no, I mean, I think if it was just the family, that could have been okay, but I know that, like, it should be probably, like, special, and like, just intimate, little moment. And then, anyway, so I didn't know, it was so funny, I don't think I told you this part, Maddie, but, like, I thought that he was just, like, wanting me to help plan. I didn't know he was actually wanting me to like be there. And then like 2 days or 3 days before, he was like, so are you coming to Knoxville this weekend? And I was like, yeah. everything planned anyway. So I was just like gonna send all the candles and shit to your mom's house. So like that's why I was like, just give me her number. We'll plan it. We'll figure it out. And so I messaged your mom and Maddie's mom, and then went ahead and sent. I ordered stuff on Amazon, but then like since I was coming, I was like, I'll just go ahead and send it to my house now. And then I went to Michael's and got more. And Michael's, you guys, the wedding section at Michael's, holy mother balls, like that. There is so much. And then I was like running around trying to find the rose petals because I was like, I know they have them. And then all I could find were like fall flowers. And I was like, no, that's no. And so anyway, so I found those. And then the crazy part is that I was like an hour away from Knoxville. And then we got the text that his flight had been delayed. So he missed his connecting flight. And the closest way that he could get to Knoxville was to Nashville. And so I drove back to Nashville, picked him up, and then we went to Knoxville. Seriously? And we were supposed to be at the little dinner that you guys were at, but we were excited about that, but then that didn't happen. But also, like Connor said, which is Maddie's brother, it was probably for the best because it was dark by the time we got there, so the candles were actually lit like nicely, and it was very romantical. So we will post that on the pod, I'm sure, because we need to celebrate. That's amazing. It all worked out really well.
Oh, I love that.
I know, what a time.
What a fun way to meet you. Like, I just met you. Holy shit, yes. Get that ring.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Chris is the best, though, because she's a hype man, too. Also, okay, so for the podcast moment, okay, I guess I should probably introduce our lovely guest. Oh, my God. Chris, mother effing Carr, is just
it's my biblical
my
name.
Sister. And I know that's a very white lady thing to say, that like we're soul sisters, but but it's so true because it's like real. I always said that you were an Anne because I was such a Leslie, but I feel like you're a Leslie. You are a Leslie, and that's like why we are, like that's why it works too, because we're on the same wavelength. Yeah. And I know, Maddie, you have like similarities to Leslie's as well, but like it's just wild how you lean more towards one than the other. And she's an amazing voice actor. She's been in 800,000 bajillion animations and video games, and teaches, which she's a great teacher. I follow her on Instagram, you guys. And I told you guys, I think I said this on the podcast last time. I think Chris might be frozen. Chris, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Oh, no.
Nope.
I can hear Chris, and Maddie, Holly is frozen.
Holly's frozen, yeah. Now I see movement.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We're good.
And we're back.
Anyway, we talked about, I don't know when it was, but we talked about how you have a doppelganger. And so I told everyone to follow you on your actual.
Oh, thank
name,
you.
The chef.
On Crazy Sexy Cancer, Chris Carr.
What's that?
So there's another Chris Carr, spelled the same way and everything. And SAG actually almost didn't let me keep my name. And I was very indignant, where I was like, she doesn't even act anymore. She's making smoothies and telling people about alkaline diets.
Yeah.
I got full John Proctor.
Really fast.
Sure. I was just like, this is my name. It's fine.
That's crazy.
It was ridiculous.
Is this why people change their names? Because SAG it is. Just like thinks they can rule the world?
Yeah, because otherwise you get the same IMDb credits, or your residuals can get messed up. So it is to protect you. But my real name's Christine, and everyone, when they find out, is like, ew. And I have the same reaction. So there's this other woman who does it. And then also, this is like a very nice, polite thing, is that I'll get tagged in photos sometimes of Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And that's really flattering. But that's also not me. There's a whole bunch
Who's
of...
Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
She was Black Canary... Or no, she was Huntress in Birds of Prey.
And why do you get tagged in that?
My friends do it accidentally. Mishu plays this game called Close But No Chris Carr. We're like,
oh my God, that's hilarious.
If there's a promo with an actress who looks like me, I usually get messaged a whole bunch of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're in this. That's so amazing. We're so proud of you. And I'm like, I love that you think that I am in a huge DC vehicle. This is wonderful. Thank you for thinking I'm of that caliber. I am living in the valley, yelling in a closet, doing bank commercials, which is still the dream. It's still a dream. It's just, you know, I'm not on that echelon.
Oh, that is hilarious. Wait, what's her name? Mary who?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
You'll know her when you see her.
I look like if she really liked donuts. like if she was like, I don't need to get fit for these indie films, I'd be like, yeah, it's me.
Oh my God. Chris is also a stand-up comedian and she is beautiful and so funny. And I feel like no disrespect to Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but I think that you're beautiful.
Oh, thanks, bud. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
But she's beautiful too. Okay. But I don't know what she's in. I'm not familiar with her work, but regardless,
wasn't she in Scott Pilgrim versus the World too?
Yeah. She's Ramona Flowers.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Got it. Okay. Well, anyway, the reason I said that you were a stand-up comedian is because you're so fucking hilarious. So
yay.
I want everyone to know that.
Oh, man.
we're just going to fangirl all over each other for the whole entire fucking
episode. I love it.
That's basically what this is half the time.
Maddie, you're so lucky to have Holly for all your wedding stuff, too, because she helps so much with mine. She's the best. No. She's the best. You know that because she's your best friend, but she's incredible.
I do know this, and I do. There are many reasons Holly is my maid of honor, but the one of the reasons I was like, yep, 100% her is my graduation from high school because I had family from all over coming, and my parents were pretty recently divorced. And so she was like, all you have to do is show up. Grab the diploma. That's your job today. And I was like, I don't have to worry about my family. And I was like, she's already my best friend in this entire world. Like, this is she's just made for this.
Oh, I love it.
Well, and I had been there in that position before. And I have to give a lot of the credit to my sister because I'm passing down everything that she gave me. Mm-hmm. Because at my graduation, she was like, okay, I'm going to sit in the middle of mom and dad. And it's not going to be like, this is not about them today.
Amen.
And so it was perfect. But yeah, so shout out to Brooklyn.
Yes.
But anyway, okay, well, I have a recap moment from Dexart, and it was, okay, if you haven't listened to Dexart Kevin Simons, aka Dexart, then go back and listen to that. But so I talked about how Kevin Simons, aka Dexart's IMDb page, said that he was from Highland Park, Illinois, and he was like, you mean my Wikipedia page? And I was like, no, it's your IMDb. And it is his Wikipedia page. So sorry about that. And someone wrote that for him because Wikipedia, obviously, you can, you know, edit it. Whoever can edit it. So he's not from Highland Park, Illinois, which we talked about. But I just wanted to say that what's that called in a newspaper when you take it out?
Redacting?
Or yes, correcting? Yes, that is what I am doing. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, we talked about the actor who was on his phone in Parks and Rec saying that you can do everything online, like you can buy tools online. I'm watching Iron Man 2 right now. We talked about that dude, and I'm actually watching, well, first of all, his name is Joe Mandy, so shout out to him because we didn't know his name at the time. And he was on Modern Family as Claire's assistant, and he dates Alex, the daughter. Do you guys remember this, or did you watch Modern Family?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he plays a much bigger role in Modern Family than he does in Parks and Rec. But with Parks and Rec, he actually wrote six of them, including Bailout, Save JJ's, Emergency Response. He's a producer on The Good Place, and now he's on my list of people to talk to for this pod. So hopefully that happens soon.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the last thing, or one of the last things, second to last thing, is that, okay, so that diner that we talked about in Christmas Scandal, you know, when Dexart and Leslie meet, and also there's a bunch of times when this is used. Dexart or Simons, I need to call him Kevin, sorry, I keep calling him Dexart. It's fine, he likes it. Anyway, Kevin Simons emailed me, and like he said he was going to do, he was true to his word, and he sent me the place that this is. The diner is called Barone's, or Barone, I guess, in Italian. It's Barone's famous Italian restaurant. Like, that's the full name of the website. Did they know it was going to be famous? Or, you know, Barone's famous Italian restaurant? Intriguing.
They use it for one of the steak places that Ron goes? That's what I always think of when they're in there, is like, it looks kind of like one of the steak places.
I think they do. Yeah. Because Mulligan's is the one of them, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other one is, they do go in here. And then this is also where, when Jam is like pretending to be Ron, and they have a meeting, and his hair is falling out. That's also this diner.
Oh, boy.
But it's in it's in Valley Glen. Chris, if you want to drive by it, it's on Oxnard.
Yes, I do.
I'll send you this address, but it's 13726 Oxnard Street. And I have to read you this from their website because I just thought it was so cute and I also want to give them a shout out. So, Barone's famous Italian restaurant was founded in 1945. So old, serving Southern California's first thin crust rectangular Neapolitan style pizza. So that is their claim to fame. It is our mission to bring this popular pizza to all who crave a truly exceptional pizza experience. Barone's guarantees the finest and freshest ingredients, but it is the unique pizza sauce and crust, which tastes like the finest pastry, that makes the Barone's pizza truly extraordinary. Barone's restaurant is not just great pizza, though.
Now I'm hungry.
Whoever wrote that, good job. And I just did a free voiceover commercial for you.
We should all get free pizza now.
Yes, I know. It looks so cute.
Man,
you guys, you
that's
have to...
so close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm
and
excited.
Chris, you like Italian food and
I
pizza.
I love Italian food. It's my fave.
She makes great Italian food too, you guys.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, thanks.
So that's great. Thank you, Kevin Simons, for emailing me that. And then the last thing is we also talked about that Lonely Island fellow who plays the Grizzle guy, and his name is Yorma. Remember that? And he's in so many things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's in so many things. But for Parks and Rec, Parks and Rec, he directed Gin It Up, which is the one where Donna accidentally tweets from the Parks Department Twitter and, you know, all that stuff. So he directs, I guess, as well, which I think he directs a lot of the Lonely Island stuff as well.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
I think you're right. And I think the other guy does as well. I can never remember his name. The third guy.
Oh.
Because Andy does most of the acting. Yeah. But
Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Popstar?
Yes. I love it.
I haven't watched
that's
it
good
yet.
Stuff. Yeah. That's
probably.
It's. Yeah.
You'll
it's
die.
Pretty good.
Okay, I'll add it to my list. I did see that when I was looking up Yorma, so I was like, oh God, this looks right up my alley. We were just rewatching Hot Rod recently, and oh my God. What a random, beautiful movie.
My favorite thing about that movie is just watching Bill Hader when you're not supposed to be watching Bill Hader.
Yes.
Because he's just constantly so close to breaking, and it makes it so much more fun because he's just sitting there having the best time being like, oh, shit, I hope I don't ruin this take because my friends are so funny.
He actually says that like that story where he gets the shrapnel like shot in his eye and he has to call Rod to take him. He said that happened to a friend of his and he was Rod in that situation. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is nuts.
Yeah.
And it's like it's so close to his eyeball. And I just love how basically... how basically like high he is, you know what I mean? Like in shock.
My brother and Ivan, well, my brother just moved, so he doesn't live with us anymore. Sad face. But when they were living here, if one of them was leaving for some reason and it was like out of the ordinary, out of routine, they would go, ancestors protect me. And then the other one would go, may they protect you. It's so good.
Just gonna say that. Oh my God, we played Office Olympics at the office last week, which is super fun. And one of them was giant Jenga, and so every time I grabbed it, I was like, ancestors. Can't even make it through that.
That's so
good. Oh my God. All right, well, that's all of my recap from Dexheart. Heart. So thank you guys for listening to that. Is there anything else that we need to say before we move on to the camel?
I mean, I would love to just say that you can tell how much Kevin loves that role and loved being on that show. It is so wonderful when you hear an actor have so much joy, not just about their own performance, but just about the environment that they were allowed to be in and play in. Ugh, it's just, it gives me all the warm fuzzies listening to him talk about it because he just loves it so much.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't cut much of anything, because his excitement and joy and passion was just so infectious. And I was like, people need to hear this. And that's something that I have been finding. You know how when you meet your heroes, you're just like, have zero expectations. Don't like get your hopes up, you know. And everybody that we've interviewed, but especially him, is just so passionate about it and was so excited. And they're so different from a lot of their characters. Like Kevin is not a sleazeball.
Yeah, like so true. Yeah. Well, and I think he was a fan of the show too, right? Like, I think he's the first one that was like, I think he watched, he said, before he even auditioned, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that probably puts it into perspective too, because I can imagine if, like, I had been a fan and then got to be on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he was like, he watched a few before he auditioned, but, like, he said that after he filmed that first one, Christmas Skin, he was like, okay, that was a good run. That was fun. Totally did not expect to be on it. But he kept watching the show because there was, like, a 3 or 4 season break for him. Mm-hmm. And then Leslie gets into town council and is like, okay, here he comes. So, yeah, totally into it. Into it. All right. Well, so The Camel. This was written by Rachel Axler, who also wrote Canvassing. We have spoken on Instagram. So shout out to Rachel Axler because she messaged me back. And she seems super nice. I told her that we were going to be doing this and she wished us the best. And she is also the inventor, just a friendly reminder, of Gorp, Good Old Raisins and Peanuts, which was cut. Wasn't it cut?
Yeah, I think we saw it in a deleted scene. Yeah.
Okay, great. And she's the inspo for the whipped cream. Like, apparently she ate like a child. So just a friendly reminder, which I like kind of resent that a little bit. Like, I can be an adult and eat all that shit. Okay.
Yeah. There have been many, many a mornings when Holly and I have texted each other later in the day and we've both been like, I had waffles with whipped cream this morning. And she's like, I had waffles with cream this morning.
See, y'all are doing it way more adult. I just have a can of Ready Whip that I will just like throw into my face and then pop back in the fridge like a nightmare.
That's how you do it, though.
That's how you do it.
Yep. I know. I really need to have two cans. Can for like sharing and people can put on their ice cream and a can for my mouth.
Yeah.
My dogs also, if they hear me even shake the canister, it doesn't matter where they are in the apartment, they are at my feet.
Oh yeah.
They love whipped cream. It's ridiculous.
Do you put it on their face and then you like talk about how they look rabid? Because that's what we do.
Gosh. No. But now I will. I put it at their little paws and then they have to like lean down and lick it off the floor.
Like smear it on their face. I'm like, go kill Cujo. Which is great because they're 6 pounds and 13 pounds. So
that's amazing.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Stealing it.
Babies. One is named Gimli from Lord of the Rings. Little precious old man.
Yay.
We love. Yeah. And Treecko, obviously, we love too.
Treecko's the bad one, though. He poops under my piano. He's being real cute right now. He has a bed in the booth, so he's sleeping in the booth.
Aww.
He likes it a lot.
Okay. Hey, Treecko. Thank you for being cute. And thank you for Rachel Axler. So this was written by her. And then it was directed by Millicent Shelton. Oh, wait. Do you have anything else to say about Rachel? Anyone else? Okay, great. So Millicent Shelton, who is a badass, she started as a wardrobe assistant for Spike Lee's movie Do the Right Thing. And it looks like she only directed this episode of Parks and Rec, but she's directed a bunch of stuff, especially music videos like Mary J. Blige, Aaliyah, Salt-N-Pepa. She's also directed a lot of TV shows like Girlfriend, 90210, 30 Rock. And for 30 Rock, she became the first African-American woman to win a Primetime Emmy Award nomination. Nice. Just a nomination, apparently. I don't think she actually won it. But regardless, that's amazing for outstanding directing for a comedy series. It's for the episode Apollo, Apollo. Do you guys watch 30 Rock at all?
I love 30 Rock.
Yeah, but I haven't seen it enough to know the names of it.
The names of them.
Yeah.
So Apollo, Apollo is the one where they put Tracy Jordan in a spaceship, like on set, and they pretend and do this green screen shit to make him think that he's going to actually go to space. So dumb. I love 30 Rock too, though. Oh my
so
God.
Good.
But she messaged me back. So, side note, I just sprung that on you, but I wanted to share with you what she wrote to me. She was super gracious and super nice. And I, in true Holly fashion, responded back and said, if you have any more stories, we are all ears, but thank you. Like any other things. But so I asked her, you know, if she has any memories or insight from directing this episode. And she says, I remember that the original script was completely rewritten at the last moment. And I had to go into the stage over the weekend to block and figure out this brand new script. The whole time we all felt like we were figuring it out one scene at a time. Thanks for the praise. And she had a little praying emojis.
Aww.
But that's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That like the script was rewritten and then she had to go in over the weekend and didn't have like, because usually with directing you, for TV shows anyway, you have like at least a week to prep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it feels like such a quintessential Parks and Rec episode, too, that it's mm-hmm. so wild to think that that was kind of a Hail Mary situation of scrambling to do something else.
Yeah. It worked out great. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. No one else could tell.
Oh, no. You couldn't tell that was, like, rushed together. No way.
Right. Totally. And I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, in true Parks and Rec fashion, though, I'm sure that it was a team effort as well, where everyone else was probably really pitching in and making sure that everything was done and it wasn't all on her. But as a director, obviously, especially when you come in to a show that is already kind of sort of set up, especially this is episode 6, I think, or something, right? So regardless, like, it's already been set up. And so they already have kind of a tone set. And so to come in and then just be like scrambling, I'm sure that was really nightmare. Marish, but it went well.
Yeah, they made it work. So. Made it work.
Totally.
Which callback? Designers, make it work.
Yeah, make it work. Which is in this episode.
Love I can't it. Do the voice. I really can't.
Neither can Leslie. It's okay.
Yeah. Truth, truth.
Well, that's all I've got on Millicent. So I've written summary. Unless anyone else has anything else to say about Millicent. Thank you for reaching out, Millicent, by the way. We appreciate it so much.
Yes. Thank you. I know. I always appreciate when people take time to, like, comment, you know. Because, I mean, especially if you – did you say she's directed more than this episode for Parks and Rec?
No. This was her only one for Parks
right,
and Rec.
Right. So it's such a small probably thing in her wheelhouse. And it's like she took the time to – that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely recommend following her on Instagram. She's a great follow, and she's got a lot of stuff going on. Like, she is still directing, like, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously. I don't know. But she's at Shelton9Mil, M-I-L. So, highly recommend following her. She's got a lot of cool projects going on.
Awesome. Okay, summary?
Yes.
Here we go. After countless defacings of a mural on City Hall, it is decided that all the departments will put in a piece of art to replace the mural. Leslie, Anne, and the team all work on independent murals to present to one another, and in the end decide to merge all of their ideas together. In the meantime, Ron falls in love with Andy's shoe shining skills and makes some uncomfortable sounds of pleasure.
It's such a good B storyline. Oh,
it really is.
It's so simple. Subtle. So
and
good.
I know we'll get there, but Andy's talking head right after the moan. And he's like, what the fuck, man? I'm just like, that's so good. And I would love to know if that was improv'd.
I would too.
Like, you could totally do that with Chris Pratt and be like, okay, this just happened. Give your response. And he would do a great job.
Yeah.
So.
That is so funny. Yeah, I know. This one didn't have commentary, unfortunately. So we will speculate wildly.
Yes.
Yay!
As we do.
Well, this cold open is really cool. We start on the town hall meeting. They're saying the spirit of Pawnee has been defaced, and Leslie has a talking head that says we need better security, but we also need better, less offensive history, which is very true and real.
And that goes for the whole country, I feel like, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We just need less offensive history.
Oh, the comedy.
Yes. Well, and the things that people have done to it, right? They've thrown tomato sauce, acid, and somebody tried to stab it.
I really like when Leslie, like, makes the gesture of stabbing it.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Which, it's a wall. I don't know how successful they were. Yeah. And how much damage does that do?
I don't know.
It depends on how angry you are. Depends on how strong that stabbing arm is.
That's true. And also, like, what kind of, you know, material the wall is made out of. If it's just pure drywall, then I'm sure it's, you know, good.
That's true,
like,
too.
Stab. Friendly reminder, the guy who plays the city manager, Paul Reeves, also plays the guy whose Jim is trying to bribe / stops mm-hmm. his car in the office. Love that dude. Where Andy has the blisties. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Andy line, I think.
It's so good.
I say it all of the time.
You got some blisties. Yeah, you do. He's also been in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then we talked about how he's the president in Veep.
Oh, right? That's right.
And he was like in L.A. Law and Desperate Housewives, and he's got a pretty long list of
things. Is he the president? I thought he was just like going to be the president.
I think I read that it was like up incoming president or something like that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I know her and like the Veep and him were like debating or trying to, you know, beat each other out. But yeah, he is in Veep. That's true.
There's a lot of Veep crossover.
Yeah. Which, this is so off topic, but I know because you also watch Marvel, like, she is now in Marvel.
Yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
She's in there now.
Yes, Louis-Dreyfus. Yes.
Which she's very
coming
exciting.
Coming in as a bad guy.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I think she's going to kick ass.
It's going to be very,
will.
Very exciting.
Wait, which Marvel movie?
So at the end of Black Widow, the end credit scene, she walks up to Scarlet. And yeah, but my brother said, I didn't watch Falcon and Winter Soldier yet, but he said she comes in there too, right?
So she appears in that. She's this character called, I want to say her name is Valentina. I can't remember her last name. Mm. But basically there is this kind of alt Avengers League. And so some of the people that we meet in Falcon and Winter Soldier, like the guy who comes in and replaces Captain America, has been recruited by her. Now she's coming after, Yelena, the theoretical new Black Widow, and kind of pitching her against Hawkeye. So it's setting up a lot of fun stuff for Phase 4.
Crazy. Ugh. Chris is the ultimate Marvel person. I love it. Well, at least in my circle.
Oh, thanks.
You know?
I was going to say, if I was, I think I'd remember her. Allegra, Valentina Allegra, I think.
Okay.
Is the name. It's going to bother me. I'll figure it.
I'll put it in the fact check or recap next week. Valentina question mark. Wait, we have time. Let's just fucking do it right now.
Let's just look it up right now.
Say, we're all on
computers.
What's
the first name again?
Her name, Valentina? Julia? Oh, or Valentina, yeah. Valentina Allegra de Fontaine?
Oh. Dang.
Oh, I see. Okay, man, exotic.
So she's...
Go, yeah. Julia. Julie Louis-Dreyfus, not Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I always say Julia, too. I'm wrong.
It just kind of blends in with the rest of their name.
It does. No, it really does. Okay. Well, that's exciting. Good for you. I'm really excited about her. Okay. So, moving on to Joe from Sewage. This is his first appearance, I think.
Yes. Sewage Joe is here
Sewage
for the first
Joe!
Time.
Oh, my God. You guys, I have a little, exciting moment. He messaged me back, too!
Oh, my gosh. What is happening, Holly?
You're getting
everybody.
I know,
dude. I messaged all these people this week, too, by the way, which is so exciting. Because I, usually I give them more than, a week, but... I only gave them 2 days and they messaged me back. Amazing. But he didn't say as much because he actually has a new show on FX called Reservation Dogs from Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
And super
I love
exciting.
Taika so much.
Oh, man. Who doesn't?
He's amazing.
But I asked him if he had any insight and he was like, thanks for loving all that is Parks. It's a magic world. I'll let you know if I ever have a window currently underwater with child and new show. Love, Joe. Which
That's
is so
sweet.
Cute. And then he wrote Love Joe. But so congratulations on the child. I don't know how old the child is, but regardless, being a parent is a full-time job. So, and the new show. So congratulations on that. But yeah, it's crazy. Side note, Reservation Dogs. I looked it up and it looks like it's going to be phenomenal. It's a comedy that follows these four indigenous Native American teenagers in Oklahoma who steal, rob, and save in order to get to, I wrote this down, in order to get to the exotic, mysterious, and faraway land of California. But yeah, I mean, it's great that they're talking about, I think it's a little bit more, timely with Native Americans. Finally, we're talking about things on TV, you know what I mean? Like in the media. But yeah, thank you for messaging me back, Kirk Fox. I also didn't realize he's a huge, famous stand-up comedian. So that's cool, too. And one of his tweets recently was, I'm the cleanest dirtbag. I was like, that is on point for your branding, sir.
Yeah. That's a great little sound bite to describe yourself. Mm-hmm. Damn. Oh, I'm jealous of
it. I know. So good. But yeah, so I feel like he can do anything. I mean, I was looking at some of his pictures and his facial hair, much like Nick Offerman, changes everything. Like there's some stuff without his mustache and some stuff when he's clean shaven or longer hair or whatever, and he just can play so many different things. And there's one where he's kind of older looking. I feel like he had some like Silver Fox moment going on, and I was like, Joe from Sewage, are you handsome ?
Because he plays such a good
sleazeball.
I don't shower, and I am gross and touch. Yeah, yeah, definitely. He plays that so well.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's from sewage, so it was definitely well casted.
You could be one of his hot interns, Holly.
I know, right? Oh my god, I loved that metaphor. I guess that's for like trashy dudes getting amazing women? Question mark. Or at least that's how I took it.
I just love how mad Tom is about it. Just furious. Ugh, we got April and he has them. This is bullshit.
How do they get all the hot interns?
I didn't even think about that. How that's like a jab at April almost.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Just another sleaze Tom moment. Mm-hmm. This is not why you come to work, dude.
I know, but so funny.
It is what it is. Kirk Fox, before we move on through the opening, has also played a small role in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community, and he was in Reno 911.
Oh, cool.
I've seen a couple Reno 911s with him. And then he was in The Patriot, which I've never seen but have heard is an amazing movie. I don't know how big of a role he played in that, but I've heard it's a very good movie, so I kind of want to watch it now and be like,
it is a great movie. Yeah, that's the one with Mel Gibson, although I know that we should probably not like watch things that he's in, but at the same time it is a great film and Heath Ledger's in it too, so I don't remember
Heath
him
Ledger
being
so
in it,
much
yeah. Ugh, yeah, it's great. Have you seen it, Chris?
I have not seen it. Yeah, I'm not a big Mel Gibson watcher, and I don't watch a lot of war movies.
Yeah, it is a war movie. Mm-hmm. So there's that. It's okay, whatever. It had its time.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. I mean, I will yuck Mel Gibson, but like whatever, sure, whatever genre you're into, though, that's amazing. I'm sure it's a great film.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Well, okay. So I'm now in the conference room. Are you guys in the conference room? Or are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, first of all, okay, so they're in the conference room trying to figure out how to make this mural, because that is, just as a reminder, I don't know if we actually said it, but if you've watched the episode or if you haven't watched it in a while, it's all about all the departments are going to make this mural to replace this one that had acid thrown on it.
Did you did you start to Jerry that, Holly? Were you going to call it a mural?
I know. That's what
murinal?
I heard. That's why I said murinal.
Oh my god, Muriel, did I say that?
You jerried it. You gotta go murinate on it now.
Oh my god, that public murination. Oh my god, that is hilarious. Okay, that word is hard to say.
It was perfect. Okay. It was perfect.
It was on brand. Okay. So when I was watching this, so she's got a bunch of shit like on the table, like poster board, markers, all that shit to create this. When I was watching this, I was like, what in the hell is on the table in that big clear jar? Did you guys see this? Or was it just something that I fixated on? Okay. I did a bit of a deep dive, as per usual. It says Big Top Artist, and that I'm guessing was a brand. So it kind of ended in a dead end because I Googled Big Top Artist and a bunch of record labels kept coming up, which makes sense. Yeah. Artist. But I did do some digging and I found that there's this Big Top Artist bench art set and a kid's apron. So I think that they are a crafty thing, brand that maybe died off. I don't know. But both of those things were from the Aaron Brothers, which is this framing company that is now sold at Michael's. So I don't know if Big Top Artist was like a side project that maybe the Aaron Brothers like had going on the side situation. But regardless, it was a dead end deep dive. But I still don't know what's inside of it. I really want to know what is, you know, actually in there, but some type of craft, and I'll leave it at that. But I did not know that Aaron Brothers was sold at Michael's store, and they're a big framing thing, so maybe we'll look into getting them to sponsor the pod.
Yeah.
Let's do Aaron Brothers for all your framing needs.
Exactly.
We'll have to have Chris come on and do all of our
there we
commercials.
Go.
I'll
just do fake commercials for y'all.
I love it. I love it. I also love that Leslie thinks Donna did her nails. Like, she has the little stuff hanging off her nails. And then she gets so disappointed. It's like, oh, well, never mind. What she thinks.
Yeah. No, that's very accurate. I loved that, too. I just was like, oh, Leslie, you're so cute. You think that She did that. That's so cute.
I know. And nowadays, I feel like you can do a lot of your nail stuff. Like with quarantine, I feel like a lot of companies came out with
you could you know, with Olive and June, another potential sponsor of the Parks and Pals podcast. Olive and June, yes. Hook up with these
Olive
guys.
Olive and June, Busy Phillips uses that a lot. Okay, Park Pals and Olive and June, we will get it together. Okay,
framing and nails. Brothers. You got this.
Oh my god, I like your nails though. I mean, I just can't. I can't do long ones. You know? Can you guys do long ones?
Mine are. I get okay. like little claws. Because it's dangerous in these streets, y'all. I gotta be ready.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
But Valley Village, just woo. It's turned.
It is intense. Yeah.
I just don't know how she deals with the dangles on it.
Yeah,
you know?
That would distract
like,
me.
Having a charm bracelet. Yeah. I don't want James Avery tchotchkes in my fingies while I'm trying to type.
In my fingies.
Yes.
That's accurate. So funny. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, no. I'm now at Kyle.
Okay. Well, I have, I just also love the fact that Ron gives zero shits enough to the point where he's like, what did Tom think was going to happen when he said, You can't tell us what to do. Ron can tell us what to do. Like, obviously Leslie's going to be like, Ron, tell him to listen to me. Right. Yeah. So I don't know what he was planning to get out of that situation.
Totally.
But the other point I had here was I sat there and I was like, Leslie, like, cause I would have run this very differently. And I was like, Leslie, I feel like she dropped the ball here with how organized she is. Mm-hmm. Because it would have been much more efficient if they had all sat, like gone off and come back with like a list of ideas of what made Pawnee what it was. And then they sat and they designed a mural together.
Oh, interesting.
I think they could have come up with something really, really cool like that. And if I was the project manager there, mm-hmm. that's what I would have done. Because mm-hmm. now, you know, you have obviously everybody's got very different brains. Yeah. And they're coming back with like 6-7 different murals that look so different, you know?
Right.
So I think they could have made something really cool that, I mean, obviously I know it's for the story and for the funny and for the laugh, but I was like, I feel like 5 years in the future, Leslie would have done it this way because it's just more efficient. And I think they would have had a more cohesive, you know, product.
Yeah.
I do feel though that if they did that, it would have ended up the same exact way as how it ended up this time. Just because they all voted for themselves. They all want to do their own thing. I don't know that we have the teamwork yet.
This is also true.
We have to
get on board with that.
We got to come together for Harvest Festival first. And then, then we can make some fine art.
Exactly. Right. I almost anticipated Leslie just using her own, truly. Like, I feel like this meeting was kind of just a formality.
Yeah.
To talk about what we needed to do and then, you know, move forward from there.
Yeah. And give everybody else work to do.
Right.
I also
love
that Anne came in to help.
Mm-hmm.
I love how everyone's so mad about it, though. You don't even work here.
That was so mean, girls. She doesn't even go here.
Exactly.
I know. There is actually, speaking of that, there is a deleted scene where Anne comes in and says that very thing where she's like, you know, this isn't really my thing. And first of all, I'm not an artist. But secondly, you know, I know this is a department thing. I don't want to step on any toes or whatever. And then she's like, no, you can do it. You can totally do it. I actually, I think I recorded it because it was really funny on Leslie's end. Okay, I'll play it really fast. Hold on.
Of this team, you are the cherry on the sundae, hot fudge on the banana split. Oh, let's go get ice cream.
Yes.
No, we have to work. Okay, go be an artist.
Okay. I just thought it was funny because she wants to get ice cream.
Yes, that
and
is so
speaking of which, she's eating an ice cream.
Yes.
Like cone as she's looking at all these murals or mm-hmm. like doing her own research. I was like, that's so wild.
Yeah, I think that was great. I was like, that
totally
is what I would
do. Yeah, it makes sense, but it's also very interesting for me. Like, I wonder how many takes they had to do with that, because first of all, ice cream melts, but secondly, when you're eating as an actor, you want to pick something that you don't have to, like, eat chunks of, even though Steve Carell does not subscribe to that. But I do wonder, like, how many takes she to, or, like, if that was her idea to have an ice cream cone or if that was written into the script, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
because she has it in all the little shots. It's not just in one of the rooms that she's in. She has it in all of them.
Do we see Anne eating it? Because, I mean, you could stage that and it could just be a pile of mashed potatoes because that's what they do with us in theater.
Well, no, it's Leslie, like, has a little ice cream cone, like one of those ones that you'd get, like, at a pool. And she, you know what I mean? It's not, like, in a bowl, but it could be, you know, if that was the case, that absolutely could have been the case. But no, but no, she had a little cone. It was very clear.
And she does lick it, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, she's eating it.
That's why I was concerned. I was like, did she eat it?
Did she actually eat it? Yeah, that's a good call. Could have been just styrofoam. Like,
gross. Oh, man. But yes, this is our first Kyle, right?
Yay. We love Kyle. Yes. This is his first episode. I love that they keep him around. He's like, honestly, I tagged him as Larry Jr. I feel like he is very similar to Larry's character.
Yeah, he's Andy's Larry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
He's in 16 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's more than I would have guessed, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I counted. And my favorite is when he's in fluoride. Remember when he, like,
yes.
is the before picture of what happens before you drink fluoride?
Yep. Oh, my gosh. I can hear all of that. Dun, 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 dun.
Right.
Like, Leslie doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. I did reach out to him, but I couldn't find. This is the thing, too, where I guess maybe since they've been on Parks and Rec or like a couple of things, but this is the thing where I'm just like, actors, where is your website? Like, a lot of these people don't have fucking websites. And I'm like, I know that you're, I don't know. And so, whatever. So I found a couple things on IMDb Pro, like, but only his agent. And then I was like, well, I don't want to message their agent because their agent's going to think it's for money and it's not for money. And I guess I could. I don't know. Yeah. But I haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Chris? Do you think I should message their agent?
I would reach out because people have done that to my manager for like,
really?
We would like to put Chris on this astrology podcast. And I'd be like, why?
What?
But it'd be for no money. And so it was just like, would you like some exposure? And I'd be like, to who?
For what?
For what? At the time, too, like, I was doing those Steven Universe videos and stuff for iOne Digital. And so I talk some mad shit about people who believed in astrology, where I'd be like, if you subscribe to crystal healing. And again, no shame if you do. But I was very confused why I was the person they reached out to. Where I was like, oh, I was warning people, like, not to do this. Be like, please don't ingest a crystal if you have stomach ulcers. That's bad. Thanks, kids. But yeah, people do that all the time to their managers and agents. They just...
Okay.
You miss all the shots you don't take, Constant.
Good call. No, you're right. Good call. But also, I think I was just a little bit confused because I also couldn't find any social media, which I get if you don't have social media, that's fine. But as an actor, that's like your fucking calling card.
I literally teach a class on this. I'm doing it next week.
Nice.
Where if you don't have a website and if you don't have social media, we're like, sorry, like, too bad. This is something you have to do now. You're a probably fine actor who plays Kyle. You were on this show. But...
Right.
For the rest of us trying to do all this stuff, like, you're a small business. And if you can't find a small business's website, you're probably not going to, you know, drive your happy little ass over to their establishment. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody Absolutely. Takes time for that shit anymore.
No.
They want the information right here. And then if they're interested, they'll go out.
Exactly. Know? Well, our attention spans are so short now and blah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking, that some of these people probably have had a couple credits and they're just like, whatever, like, I don't need it. But or maybe they have it on, like, private. I redact one thing, is that he does have a Twitter. I did find his Twitter. So, and I messaged him on Twitter. And by message, I mean tagged him in a tweet because he has his messages function turned off.
You didn't try to slide into Kyle's DMs?
I want to, but how do you do it? It doesn't say message because you can have that turned off, right,
yeah,
Chris?
You can.
Yeah.
I should do that.
And his website, he does have a website, but it's very old. And it's like, I love this guy. Kyle, if you're listening, please come on. But I'm just like, upset that I couldn't find a way to contact you, sir. I like your reel. Your reel is really cool. But once I watch the reel, how am I supposed to get in touch with you if I like it, you know, and want to cast you in something? Well, for me, I'm not a casting director, but what if a casting director wanted to? I guess that's what IMDb Pro is for. But regardless, I just think it's weird. Mm-hmm. But we do love Kyle, so moving on.
Yes. The birth of this relationship between Kyle and Ron. And he throws his briefcase.
Yeah.
And, not Ron. Sorry. Andy. Uh-huh. But yeah, he throws his briefcase and stuff. I love this line. I really struggled with picking a favorite line. But I think this might be my favorite line when Ron is describing his first job. And he says, child labor laws are ruining this country. I love that line.
Oh, my God. That's a good one. That is a good one.
Yeah. Well, and I also, okay, I love Andy because Ron's explaining. He's like, well, you know, he's giving the shoe shine. He's like there's like a bump in there or whatever, right? And he's explaining mm-hmm. what a bunion is. And poor Andy. Just the way Chris acts it, it's like he's... I don't know what he's talking about, but I want to look like I know what he's talking about. It's so well acted.
I know. Their relationship is so great. I love that. Yeah. When Ron, so Ron has that line, though, where it's very beautifully written. I would love to know who actually gets credit for this, where he says, normally the pain howls through my loafers like a banshee on the moors, but these past 3 minutes it's been reduced to a faint growl.
Yeah. It's so good. And that's beautiful. When Andy's like, okay.
Sure.
I totally get what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to mention, side note, Kyle's name in real life is Andy Forrest. So Andy, which is, there's too many Andys. But
yeah.
But his name is Andy Forrest and he gets all the credit. His name is not Kyle. So go look him up and watch his reel because it is great. Oh, so
good
funny
stuff.
But yeah, that I love that. Now I'm at where Tom is at the college trying to pay this dude to paint for him.
I can't with this guy. With Tom.
It's...
Well, same situation. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because sometimes... I'm going to be really honest, y'all. Sometimes I just skip to once, you know, the boys show up. Because I get real excited when Ben shows up. And I'm like, yay, love! And I sometimes forget about what a piece of shit Tom was at the beginning of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just watching how he interacted with this poor art student. And my best friend is an artist. And so the whole time I was just like, don't you dare speak to him this way. He is trying his best. I was just so mad.
I know. He was just trying to advance his own selfish thoughts and selfish ideas and had no respect whatsoever. Absolutely. I mean, that's why I made a sting, literally, for Tom being sleazy. And sleazy is, you know, an all-encapsulating word for everything that he does in these first couple seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm just like... Yeah. And well, the little points shine through, like when he donates that money in Sister City. But other than that, I'm like...
Yeah, he has his moments, but I mean, you're right. Like, I think he's just like, how can I get out of doing this work as fast as possible? I can pay someone else to do it, right? So he's going the easy way out. And the poor guy, he's like, well, tell me about yourself. No, just do
it. Right, just do it. Oh my God,
oh
so
my gosh.
Rude.
I feel so bad for this kid.
He's
you know?
So
and then
proud.
And then he gets the painting, and he's like, what the fuck is this?
I know. And he only gets $20 for it.
Yeah.
I was like, $20 is not a lot for your dumbass to be receiving this beautiful piece of work that someone poured their soul into.
Right. Well, and then the episode goes on and he slowly like,
gets
this
into
is,
it.
This is great.
I
this
know.
This is beautiful. I love the shapes and I like the green one.
I know.
That definitely is my favorite line from the whole episode is, I just had an emotional response to art. Is that normal?
That's a great line.
That's so
oh, my
good.
God. Yeah, you do see some growth in Tom. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And art did that. Bitch.
Yeah.
I do have something to say about this actor who played the art student. His name is Doug Anthony Jones. He's from UCB, and he's been in a ton of UCB shorts and other shows and sketches and stuff like that. He's Canadian. Super cool. tidbit. And so what's funny is that I looked him up, and Doug Jones is also the name of the actor who played Billy in Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. He's an amazing actor. He does so much creature work for Guillermo del Toro. He's brilliant and so nice. He's the nicest dude in the entire world. Just really, really, really sweet. Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, have you met him or have you like seen
I have a friend who used to work very, very closely with him, and then I've run into him at some cons, and he's always just been super, super sweet.
Okay.
Because I fangirled awesome. Really hard. At Comic-Con, when you're a professional, you can have like a little room you can go to, but like usually it's just a bunch of like nobodies, right? Like yeah. me. And so I was in there, and then Doug Jones was in there, and I was like, why is he here? You're supposed to have like a handler. Logan and I lost our minds. And then we're just real awkward and we're like, hey, Doug Jones, what's up? I'm going to just grab a coffee dude. Next to you. You having a cool day? And he was like, hi, guys. Nice to meet you. He's on Star Trek right now.
Love it. Oh, my God. That's so cool. I can't believe you're in the same room as him. That's
He's
amazing.
Really nice. He's really nice.
Yeah, he does a ton of stuff. He's in, what's the other one? Hellboy, I think.
He's in Hellboy. He plays Abe in those movies. Yeah, he's done tons and tons and tons of stuff. He's, you know, all like the hand creatures and everything in.
Right. Yeah. So as a friendly reminder, if you're not a Hocus Pocus fan, which like, what are you even doing here? But if you just need a reminder, Billy is the one that is in the grave at the end with his lips sewn shut. The one that was dating, what's her face? Bette Midler's character.
Yeah. But then cheated on her with Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mess. Scandalous. Mm. Little ghost moment. Well, zombie moment is what I meant to say. Sorry. Some type of creature. But anyway, so I got lost in Doug Jones, the creature character actor, which, like, look, that was a great way to get lost. But this dude's name is Doug Anthony Jones, which I'm sure was a SAG thing. I couldn't find Doug Anthony Jones, the art student, on social media, but I did find his website. Same situation. The contact page just said his agent's information. So maybe I'll reach out to that dude and see what's going on. At least if I can get an email, because I honestly, like, as much as I love voice memos, I also really appreciate these people messaging me back on Instagram, too.
Yeah.
So or like one quick line of how it was. I mean, that means so much to me and to us. So I think that's
little
really cool.
Tidbits, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't matter how much it is. Yeah,
yeah. Even if it's just like, I had a great time working on the show. It was so cool. I'm like, ah.
Exactly.
Okay. So, side note too. Do you guys know who Gina Gershon is? Because Leslie mentions Gina Gershon.
No, but I was gonna look her up.
Yeah, she's an actress, and when I looked her up, she's there's RJ.
Hey, RJ.
See, this is what happens. She wants the attention. But anyway, I looked her up, and I'm very familiar with her face, but I don't think I've watched many things that she's been in, if I'm being honest.
What's her name again?
Gina Gershon. So Leslie says that she had a dream that this kind of thing happened, and she just imagined that Gina Gershon was in it or something.
she's in tons Showgirls. Of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Riverdale. That's what she's in that I'm familiar with. Holy shit. Oh, my God. That's what it is.
She's in Pretty in Pink, too.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. She is very experienced. And she's been doing this for a very long time. But Riverdale is what I know her from. She plays Jughead's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love your impression, Chris, by the way, speaking of Riverdale, of Jughead. I'm a messed up.
I'm an outsider, Betty. All right? I'm an outsider, and no one understands me. No one ever will.
I'm a Jacket. Weirdo.
I'm a weirdo, Betty. A loner.
Oh, man.
Oh, good old Sprouse Brothers.
I can't quit that show. I want to so bad.
Chris,
but
I'm telling you, I'm the same. I feel it.
Every week, I'm just like, what does this dumpster fire have in store for me? And I can't look away.
I need to be in it. We need to be in it, Chris.
Oh, man. We should be. We're in our 30s. We should play a high schooler on the CW. It's our time.
I really don't see how you could go wrong with that. Well, especially when they did the Heathers part, the Heathers, the musical, within it. I was like, first of all, this is terrifying and terrible. But secondly, can I please be in this and do it right? Which was awful. But I will say, Betty, actually, I'm not mad about Betty singing. I think hers was great.
She has a great voice.
Yeah. So, Maddie, do you watch Riverdale at all?
I don't.
Oh, my God. And you got to start it. You'll never end, though. So, be aware.
I'll just tell you. And this is what my brother... So, my brother watches TV nonstop. And he has so many shows on a list for me to watch. Because I used to watch a ton of TV. And I love watching TV. And he said, all right, Sissy, you have to watch this and this and this and this. And I looked at him, I said, you tell me, after living with me for a year, you tell me where I'm going to watch that show in my time. And he's like, yeah, you're right.
Like, okay. No, it's real. It's
so
a 45-minute show.
It in. Yeah, I just need to build it in, like, to watch TV. I mean, I will sit and watch, like, I'll put, like, Criminal Minds on in the background when I'm doing paperwork. Because you can stop paying attention for a minute and go back, and it's fine. You know, but there's shows you can't do that with. Like, I'll do that with The Office and Parks and Rec because I've watched it 5 million times. Yeah. And I can be doing my paperwork and have background noise and feel like I'm not alone.
But at the same time, be doing my work,
you know? But I can't do that with, like, a new show that I don't know the formula of. And, you know, it's like, yeah. Because there's such great shows out there that I know I would love. But it's like, sometimes I don't have the emotional energy to.
I just... You said that it's nice to have this on so you don't feel alone. And you pick Criminal Minds?
Oh, I've got a weird
like,
brain.
Oh, man, bro. I'm just going to listen to these people profile this serial killer. And it is usually a young blonde woman that's being murdered. I feel right at home. Well, like, what?
So my background.
It's also because she's watched them like 800,000 times, though, right? Like, well, that's one of those shows that you like know what everything is. So
I haven't watched them all, but I know the formula.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a very, you know, okay, well, we're in this part of the show where they're getting settled in this different police station. And, you know, I don't really need to know who the police chief is. We don't really care, you know. But my like, love in life is psychology and understanding the brain and, like, the neuroscience. And so, like, watching the show is like, okay, cool. So I know where they got there and stuff. But, Chris, I'll just be honest. I'm weird. And I like the weird stuff. And my mom and my brother and I, we had to drive up to Chicago once. It's about a 3-hour drive from where they lived. And we read through the entire Ted Bundy Wikipedia page on that drive. If that gives you any semblance of understanding of
so, like,
where my interests
cute
are.
Cute family shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's family shit. It runs deep from my mama.
My mom loves murder shows, but she had the opposite, where as a kid I had to have a rape whistle with me at all times, and she didn't like me wearing ponytails after a certain time of day because that was an easier way someone could grab me, because Ted Bundy would get you that way. And I was I'm 8? I don't know. Like,
oh my God.
Why am I the only 8-year-old with a rape whistle, mother?
Yeah. Your mom started you young. When I chose that I was going to school in Boston, that's when she sat me down. And
that's where my mom's from.
Okay, that's awesome.
That's
okay,
why.
So she knows. Yeah. She knows what's up. But my mom made me sit and watch hundreds of episodes of Law & Order SVU. And she was like, this could happen. This could happen to you. Where's your mace? Do you have your mace? I'm like, this is healthy. I'm like 17, 18, and this is really what you want me thinking, moving into a big city by myself. But our moms have the same brain.
Exactly. And now every time you go to a new location, you can hear, chum chum.
Yep. 100%. Yep.
I went on the road trip from Virginia to California. My aunt gave me a hammer. I was like, I think if they get close enough for me to harm them with a hammer, it's over, you know? Yes.
Damn.
What if they have a gun? This is useless.
I don't know. It's some redneck shit, but that's what...
Amazing.
Also, my mom was with me on that trip, or maybe it was to Tennessee. No, I don't know. Regardless, one of the trips, one of the moves.
But she had a screwdriver, so it was fine.
Right. We had a drill bit as well, so it all worked out very perfectly.
Well, you're here, right?
Yep, we're here. We're alive. That's so hilarious. Yeah, I am not one of those subscribers of the murder podcasts, but I know a lot of people that are, and I can't do it. But like. Yeah, no shade to those that find jollies in that.
Yeah. It sounds so gross for it to be like I get excited. But it's,
You find it fascinating, though.
It is fascinating. Yeah. I'm like, what happened to you? Mm-hmm. Like, where's the history and how they put it together, right? Like they can profile someone, like specifically on Criminal Minds, right? They can profile and say, well, they're doing this, so they have to be this gender, and they're doing this and this and this. So we're going to put this together. And we now know that they have a mom that beat them. So let's go talk to the mom, and she might know where, you know, it's like all like piecing
very
everything
type
together.
A nuts and bolts situation.
Yeah. So I'm messed up probably, but
I don't
fine.
Think that's messed up. No. I think that's just what you do, and that's okay. You don't have to explain yourself. It is interesting to hear it explained, but you don't have to apologize for it.
Yes, I won't.
It just piqued my curiosity. I was like,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, couldn't do that job. I'll tell you right now. Like, there was a time where I was like, maybe I should do this instead of what I'm doing, and then I was like, I don't think I could do this. I don't think I could walk in and see, I couldn't see the bodies. And that's what's cool about Criminal Minds is they don't show you the bodies. You know, it's not as gruesome as it could be.
Yeah.
And that's what I couldn't do in real life. I couldn't see the.
I think psychologically it screws you up more though. They do this in comic books. There was this original thing called Women in Refrigerator Syndrome, which came from somebody's girlfriend being shoved in a fridge. But they didn't show you the body, but because you saw a few like limbs and bits of things, you made it so much worse than what it probably was. And so sometimes too with Criminal Minds and stuff, when you just see like somebody's laying on a table or you see like the tools that were used near them, you're like, theater of the mind is so much more horrifying.
Wow, you're right. Theater of the mind. That's our tagline for this podcast.
Theater of the mind.
Like that's wild.
That is crazy. God. And a good point. Because if you don't have the concrete answers, your brain goes in 15 million different directions of what could have happened. That's a very good
point. Absolutely. Because we have to justify it to ourselves. We have to find a concrete answer. We love black and white thinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, crazy. Well, this all started with Gina Gershon. So,
So Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Anyway, at minute 5:13, I saw a pigeon. So
yes, behind Leslie, girl.
Behind Leslie's talking head. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yep. So there's that. I do love this zoom out of April, like, talking head. They zoom out, and she's in a dumpster. I love that, talking about the spirit of Pawnee. Ugh, so angsty, and so I related, like, my 16-year-old self definitely related to her in this small town, wanting to get out and thinking everything's trash.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
That's so true. The next note I had was Anne working on her mural and then Leslie working on hers. And I sat there and I was like, I'm so much like both of them in this moment because I would do the research like Leslie's doing.
Yeah.
And that's my brain would take me through that. But then I would get to the drawing part and it would look like what Anne's looked like.
Yeah. Just a hodgepodge of things cut out from everywhere and like random drawings. I know. I felt like that's how I was probably like my first ever vision board. I was just like, I don't know. I mean, I do that still to this day. But, you know, for a mural, it's different.
Yeah. Well, I did have that kind of thought where it was, have any of these people seen a mural before?
Right.
Valid point.
That's what are we doing? Because there's not even in that little art kit. Was there paint?
I don't know. I saw a lot of markers and like drawing things like utensils, but not, I don't even know if paint was there. That's a great question.
I'm so confused by it.
Yeah. So then Ron scuffs his shoe, which is hilarious.
On purpose. Such good editing though.
What's that?
Such good editing though. Cause it's happening while he's telling, he's like, oh no, my shoe. And then there's that little flashback. So good.
I know. I love that. I love that Andy already spent the money from literally 30 minutes ago.
Yep.
Like what? And I was on Ron's side where I was just like, confused. How did you? Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Whatever. Also, did you notice that the shoe shine stand is bumping. There are so many people in line. What the F?
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah.
Especially because we had talked about this with Sean. I don't know that I've seen a shoe shine stand in many places.
No.
Except for the airport.
I was going to say, I only noticed them at the airport.
Airport, yeah. 100%. You know, he's a guitarist, so he's good with his hands. I bet you that's what's happening.
Maybe.
He's almost like massaging their feet at the same time, and they're like, you can't even scuff these shoes. You can't even like shine these shoes. I just need a foot rub.
Right, exactly. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Well, that is, I mean, confidence is key, because I think that's my favorite line where he says, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know I'm doing it really, really well.
Oh yeah, really well.
We should all be so lucky.
I feel that way so often.
You said what?
I feel that way so often.
Yeah, where you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if this is how you're supposed to do this, but like, I feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Right. I never have the confidence of I'm doing it really well. I'm just this, I'm following the rules.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This is in the realm of how this should be handled.
I also really like Tom's outfit here. Pink shirt with the pink tie. I actually kind of dug it. I mean, it was very representative of who Tom is, and his line of professional ass art. That's a professional ass art, homie.
He tells Anne that it looks like a death row convict made it in art therapy.
That's a great line too.
Which I took offense to, because like I said, that's what mine would have looked like.
You're like, how dare you? That's my drawing.
Oh man. And it was like, she at least tried the park theme, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was at least decent.
That's true. I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, Tom could have at least said, like, this is about a park, you know? Because obviously the shapes have nothing to do with it. But I guess it didn't have to be a park, because it was going to be in City Hall, not necessarily representative of the Parks Department. So I guess that tracks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
can I also say that I don't think the mural they're trying to replace is even the worst one in City Hall. I
know. Which is awful.
Yeah. Which is terrible. That's the worst part.
Remember,
because
there's one that's tied. Somebody's tied to a gazebo.
That's
right?
Yeah. Tied to a gazebo. And the one that I was thinking of, I thought you were going to say this, was where a Native American is tied to a tree. They're all tied to something while a cannon is 2 feet away from them.
Isn't there one of a white man taking a Native American's baby, too?
Oh, yeah. That was in the second episode.
Like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Yeah, this is nowhere near the worst one.
Wild. Yeah, this one is isn't this one where the train, like, someone's in front of, like, they're about to be run over by the train, essentially.
Yeah.
So, cool! Fun! Cool. Light!
Oh my gosh. We have the Last Supper by Donna.
Yeah! All the famous people from Indiana.
Yes.
Right. Which, I forgot to look up if Greg Kinnear was from Indiana. I should have done that.
I
meant to.
Oh, good. But let's see, Greg Kinnear. Yes, Logansport, Indiana.
Okay, good job. Yeah, I would not have called that.
I know. I actually looked up where all of them are actually from in Indiana. Do you want to hear them?
Oh,
really
fast? I do. I really do.
So John Mellencamp is from Seymour, Indiana. Larry Bird, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, is from West Baden Springs, Indiana. However, he moved around because of, you know, playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And Michael Jackson is from Gary, Indiana, which is wild. I don't know that I really knew that, or I don't remember Michael Jackson, like, that wasn't something that stuck out to me from having watched this episode before.
Where is Neverland?
Neverland
I thought
Branch?
That was in Indiana.
Isn't that out here?
That's what I was going to say. Isn't it in California?
Oh, could be. I could be very wrong. I knew something about
Santa
him.
Barbara. Santa Barbara.
Okay. I knew something about him with
Thanks. I was
Indiana.
A little sketch about Googling, where's the Neverland Ranch?
Oh, God. You should see my Google history from this podcast. Oh, so weird.
Oh, man.
But yeah. So he's from Gary, Indiana. David Letterman is from Indianapolis. Vivica A. Fox is from South Bend, which reminded me of Bo Burnham's song in Parks and Rec. She's just a mom from old South Bend. Get home safe, boys. What?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
My brain.
Did you not know that was Bo Burnham?
Has never put together that that's Bo Burnham.
That's amazing. Wow.
My brain just exploded.
Yes,
are you kidding
that
me?
Is Bo Burnham,
okay,
bitch.
Because I obviously know Bo Burnham and I obviously know Chip.
Oh, I'm so excited for you too. I wish I could be in your body right now. What a wonderful moment to relive.
Holy crap. How did I not put that together?
Well, because all of his stand-up shows, I mean, especially the one where he has a song about country music, and it's like making fun of it. And one of my favorite lines in that is, y'all dumb motherfuckers want a key change? Oh, my
God. So good.
Which, you know, I'm a country musician and there is no shame, but also I think it's hilarious because it's true. And yes. Changes are hard. Okay, I get it. But also that's fucking gold.
Yes. So good.
Because it was so overused for so long. So, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's Bo Burnham, dude. And so Vivica A. Fox is our mom from Old South Bend.
It's going to take me a couple days to recoup from that.
Yes. Also, Greg Kinnear went to the University of Arizona. I thought that you should know that since we're in Arizona for broadcast journalism.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Googled him. Love Greg Kinnear.
That's in Tucson.
We also have Jim Gaffigan is one of the disciples on there too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Nice catch.
Oh, good catch. Oh my God. Where's he from? Let's look
I don't
up.
Know. But you know, you gotta point out that wonderful pale bastard.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Man. He's on tour right now. Great. Good to know. He's from a town called Chesterton, Indiana.
Okay.
Chesterton.
Great.
How
good
grand.
Catch, Chris.
Chesterton.
Have you guys watched Bo Burnham's Inside yet?
Oh my gosh, I've watched it so many times.
It's golden. Maddie, you said you hadn't yet?
No, but I've watched his other stuff before this one that came out.
Oh my gosh, that is something that you should carve out time to watch, because if you like his other stuff, you'll like, this is just so golden. I talked to like one person who, or like a couple people, I guess, who like were like not super into the musical aspect of it, but I'm like, okay, well then you just don't get it. But that's Bo Burnham and it's not about the musical. It's about the fucking genius. That's like saying that you don't like Hamilton because you don't like rap. And I'm like, it's not about that.
I'm not into hip hop and this seems revisionist. Like, no, get out of here.
So, I mean, whatever you like or whatever you're into, whatever, it's fine. But I mean, this one goes so far beyond musical theater. Mm. Like, it's just so intellectually brilliant. I just can't even get over
it's
it. But
content,
yeah, Maddie,
right?
You're not a huge hip hop
person.
Yeah,
I'm not a hip hop rap
Hamilton.
Person. Yeah, love Hamilton. I know all the words to the first three songs and more throughout. Yeah, no, I loved Hamilton. But I never sat and said, I'm not going to watch Hamilton because I don't like rap.
Right.
Yeah. No. It's the content, you know? And if I find a good song that has good content, then I'll listen to it.
Oh, you will. You will with this. Give yourself time afterwards to process it, though, because, I mean, it is a lot of just existential dread and millennial dread and a lot of the things that we've all faced. And then when you also mix that with, like, performer anxiety or being a creative... It's a lot to deal with, because some people I know were like, it's so fun and funny. And then other people I know, it was like, I had to like sit and cry after I watched this. Yeah. I felt kind of in the middle of just.
Same.
I'm going to pour myself a wine and think about this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's really accurate. I also had to Google a lot of the words he was using in his government song that he was singing about.
Yeah,
because there were so many words. I was just like, I mean, I consider myself a pretty intelligent person, but I was like, these words I've never used in my everyday life. What the hell? And they're just the way that he made them rhyme and fit into like a schematic. Like,
yeah, he's brilliant.
I mean, it was just like insane.
Well, and that shows that you're a very intelligent person, Holly. Because if you don't know something, you go seek the answer.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. That's very true. Love
you're
that.
Welcome.
Yeah, that's very true. There are people who just say, yeah, I totally know what that word is and don't do anything about it.
Or I don't care and I won't care to change
myself.
I'm
not going to learn anything today.
Yeah. Oh, my man. God. All right. Well, so now we're at Murinal.
Oh, I have a very quick thing because,
yeah, say it.
Because Leslie was like, ER, like he was on ER, and they're like, Greg Kinnear wasn't on ER. I think she's talking about George Clooney.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. That's the only person I looked up the cast to see if there was anybody else, and I was like, there's no one else that looks like Greg Kinnear.
No,
it has to be George.
You're not
going to
think that Greg Kinnear was Goose in, you know, Top Gun. Like, no.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, I think she's talking about Clooney as well.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. I feel so bad for Jerry. Because his is by far the best one.
I know! It's so great!
It's so thoughtful.
It's such a good representation of Pawnee, and it would be so wonderful to have that in the city hall for everyone to look at. And I actually really like pointillism. I did not know that that was the term for it, but I think it's such a fascinating thing and a great way to bring this metaphor of like all tiny little pieces coming into one big picture. I love it. I was so sad for Jerry. But the puns were beautiful, so that sucks that I was laughing at that. But
I'd be really interested to see when the timing was of this, because I'm not sure when his special came out. But Aziz Ansari has this joke about those Bob Marley posters that are the same way, where it's a bunch of little pictures that becomes a big picture. It's a mosaic. And I think it'd be really, really interesting just to like double check the timing of when he came up with that joke and when this episode aired.
Oh, my God. Interesting. I'm going to write that in our recap. Timing of Aziz special. Oh, my God. That is so wild. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I had no idea.
No prop.
Yeah, weird. Wow.
Oh, and I love that they made a talking head of him, too. And everyone was, like, throwing stuff in the
background. No one cares.
No one cares. Oh, my God. Awful. I do. Oh, wait. Anything else on Jerry's murinal?
No, I just love it, and it makes me so sad.
I love him so much. I would be really interested to see too, because I completely forgot about it until rewatching this episode, of once he's mayor, if that showed up anywhere, like, because that'd be really beautiful if that ended up in his office or if they hung on to that.
Great idea. I bet it was burned.
He immediately throws it away. Leslie throws it into a lake. Like she's want to do.
I can see Leslie or Tom like stealing it and burning it. Oh my God, awful.
Speaking of burning, Leslie's.
Leslie's picture. Yeah. Oh my God. Before we get to that, can we talk about the multimedia project though for April?
Oh my gosh, just April. Really fast. Okay,
hers is next, and I was just going to say one thing about it was that I was waiting for her to say that like Oren is going to be the hamster in the hamster wheel, but we don't have to talk about Oren yet.
I don't know Oren yet.
It's so crazy. But that would have been perfect.
Yeah, that hardcore would have been great.
And then I also looked up the music of Squeeze because she says that it has to be timeless, like the music of Squeeze, which is the joke because that's not timeless and no one knows who Squeeze is.
They did Tempted.
Yeah, they did Tempted, Pulling Muscles, Hourglass. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, people our age, I feel like, don't really know who
this
that is.
Very true. It's really, if you've watched Reality Bites, you're like, oh, that band.
Oh, I've never watched that. What's Reality Bites?
Oh, it's a Winona Ryder movie. Ben Stiller's in it. It's cute.
Watched it? Okay.
Highly recommend.
Add that to the list.
Early 90s film. But yeah, okay, the girls sing Squeeze.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
But I should definitely watch it. I'm going to add that to my list. But I recorded a video of the one of the Squeeze videos, and it is freaking hilarious. There's a couple, but I just want to show you, and then I'll post it on our podcast thing. But let me see if you can see this. I just like these girls in the back, like right there.
There's so much head movement.
Wow.
So there's so much. And then I'll post some more. But there's also like the one I can't remember. I videoed another one and I don't remember which one it was. It might have been for Tempted, but like very like things were moving backwards kind of thing. And like people were randomly popping out of buildings. And then like the building was really small, but the people were really big. And it was very artsy and interesting. Anyway, but they are part of the they're considered a part of the second British invasion, and their music videos are really cool. And I think that was in I was going to say a year that they took off because they were really big in Britain first, obviously. And then it didn't really take off for very much in the States until like a couple years after that. But I don't remember if it was in the 60s or 70s. But regardless, that is Squeeze, you guys.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
OK, now we can talk about the Bread Factory.
I get where she was coming from, and I love Anne's comment. It looks like you're
exploiting the tragedy,
right? And Liz is like, thank you, you get it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is classic Leslie, right? Like doing anything to advance her agenda, you know, and she doesn't see an issue with it, you know. I like the way she unveils it. She takes off the sheet so dramatically, leaves her arm hanging in the air wistfully. It's so perfect and beautiful.
Is there anything she does that's not dramatic?
I don't think so. She's passionate about everything.
Yes, it's so true.
Except for salad.
Oh, she's passionate about her hate, though.
Yeah. You're right.
There's everything's an 11. There's no in between. I just love all the descriptors of this just delicious tragedy is so fun to listen to.
I know. The town smelled like toast.
Yes. The line, "This is our Holocaust movie," though.
Heavy and awful and grisly.
It made me look at Holocaust movies differently. Once Anne said the exploit the tragedy.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Damn. Oh, I didn't even. Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah, that was crazy.
This is our English patient. Which, by the way, have you guys seen The English Patient?
I haven't.
I haven't either, but I did a deep dive, okay? You guys, I have a deep dive to share with you, and it might go on for 5 minutes, and I'm sorry, but I think it's important. Just because it's about the film, like, technological side. Anyway, okay. It is a 1996 movie, and it follows four people in World War II, and the main character is badly burned, and he's English, therefore English patient. And also, Ralph Fiennes.
It's Ralph Fiennes, yeah.
Fiennes, a.k.a. Voldemort. Pause.
So good.
Effect.
Yes.
And it was the first movie to win a Best Editing Oscar because it was digitally edited. And I was like, wait a second. 1996? Like, that was the first one that, or like one of the first ones to be digitally edited. And it wasn't one of the first ones as I did more research, but it definitely was one of the first ones to be noted for it. And so I was like, well, when did digital editing even start? And first of all, digital editing in the film world is technically called non-linear editing. And the first non-linear editing was done in 1971, which is wild because I don't know. I just had no expectations. I guess I was like, is that early? But then I was like, but that's kind of late at the same time. I don't know. So anyway, the first non-linear editor was called the CMX 600, and it was introduced by this place called CMX Systems. And it was from CBS and Memorex. You know the company where you get blank CDs and DVDs from? Memorex? Oh, Phoebe's meowing. Hello, Phoebe. And it recorded this black and white analog video, which is called skip field mode. But that doesn't matter. I just needed to say that to you. But the crazy thing is, though, that in 1984, there was this thing called the Montage Picture Processor, which, by the way, this I'm sure a lot of people know this. But did you know montage is a French word meaning to assemble?
Yeah.
I did not know that, Chris. You're so smart. And it became the
It just
first...
always makes me laugh thinking about the Avengers then, because it'd be Chris Evans yelling, montage, in a French dub.
That's right. Assemble.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. That's good.
Good. Okay. So it became the first, the real term, I guess, for video editing. Like, we adopted that. But it's just really interesting because one of the things, it's just like this huge thing of tape decks and VCR decks that they use to edit. And also, get this, Lucasfilms had his own thing called the Edit Droid, which was like in a similar realm. But like George Lucas, I guess, had his own little moment of like system of laser discs, which was like the next thing from VCRs. Crazy, right? And I was like, George Lucas. I mean, I knew you were like advanced, but my God. Anyway. So the first movies to really hone on this, and this is where it ends, is that Sidney Lumet's Power, which was in 1986. The Godfather Part 3, Francis Coppola. Or is it Coppola?
Coppola,
okay. 1990. And then Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, which was in 1987. So about 80s, 90s is when this shit really got into it. And they were huge, massive, like this processor thing was like really massive, huge, like almost kind of like a, if you think of a whiskey barrel, it was like that. Mm-hmm. And then connected to all the screens and monitors and stuff. But I was just like, damn, digital editing. That's like really wild to me because we're still learning more. But I mean, to think of it as, you know, because leaving on the cutting room floor is literally because they had, you know, hard copy film that they would cut out to edit. Mm-hmm. And to think of now that it's digital and it started, I mean, when you think of the first computers that were like the size of a car, it's just like wild to me. So that is my deep dive on The English Patient, and it won the Oscar for that.
That's super interesting. I think I still butchered that, Holly. I think it's Coppola. Coppola.
Oh, Coppola.
Yeah.
That was a deep dive into different pools.
Yeah.
You dove so deep.
I mean, definitely. It just went, it kept going. It really kept going. Because, yeah. I mean, the history of the technologically advanced film world is just more than I can comprehend. So, you know. Anyway, but yeah, super cool. Thank you, Parks and Rec, for letting me do that deep dive.
Yes.
About The English Patient. And good job, editor. I'm sorry I don't have the names. I should have looked that up so that they got credit. But if you're listening, which you're not, but you might be. Good job.
Watch us get an email tomorrow.
Right. Oh, my God. Anyways. So now we're back where they all are voting for each mural, and they all voted for themselves.
Yeah.
So.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, we all did. And now Ron's getting shoe shined.
I love how his pants are like up over his ankles.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't roll them down when he leaves, right? He's just walking down the hallway with his pants still rolled up. Yeah. It's so good.
I looked at this. So I researched on Parks and Rec Wiki. I was just like reading through this episode, and someone commented and said, why did Ron continuously get a shoe shine? Was it because he wanted to ease pain off of the bunion, or maybe he is attracted to Andy? Question mark.
They don't get it.
I was like, I think you're missing the joke.
Yeah. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Yeah. So anyway, someone answered though and was like, yeah, it's because of the pain for the bunion and also comedy.
Oh my gosh,
I mean, he didn't say the comedy part.
I was gonna say, and also comedy is my favorite answer of all time. And also,
I don't know how they didn't laugh. I really don't get how they got through this scene.
No. Oh, I don't know either.
I didn't find any bloopers though, but I mean, oh my God. And also, I really love how Nick Offerman, I don't know what his direction was, but I really loved how Ron's moans like incrementally grew, like they were small, bigger, biggest. It was crazy.
It's just a very, very uncomfortable crescendo.
Yes,
we were nicely like put. Acceptable, yes. Off-putting. Oh God, get out of there, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's where the talking head comes in, which is so hilarious.
So good.
Lady standing in line behind Ron, by the way, brief cut, is Katie DePold, and she's a writer on the show. We talked about her a while ago. So she wrote 11 episodes, including Beauty Pageant, which is when we talked about her. And she's also the lady who's interviewed for Animal Control and is like, just please don't give me this job because I'm terrified of animals. So she's standing behind Ron as an extra, getting ready to get her shoes shined. I didn't see any deleted scenes where she was in, but I'm guessing they just maybe pulled her in. I don't know if she was on set that day, but that's really funny.
I wonder if they did that a lot. Just like, okay, you're not writing right now, so we need to fill the, mm-hmm. we need to fill City Hall, so they just pull people in. I'm sure they've done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did with The Office, but I'm intrigued to see like where the writer's room was for Parks and Rec, because The Office, it was all in that same building. You know, mm-hmm. the writers had, and then set was very close, like they could walk to each other. But I don't know if that's the same case for Parks, so.
You're right. Yeah.
Then we come to Donna's line of the shapes. This is the best part of this episode, I feel, or the most notable part of this episode. What is so great about the shapes?
I know. I love how she yells it at him. She's so over it.
Oh, my God. I actually recorded it because I think it's just like we need everybody to just remember what this was.
Only God could do that.
What is so great about the shapes?
He likes the shapes, okay? And he's part of the team.
He likes the shapes, okay?
Leslie being a little mom there.
Totally. She says, if you got Andy Warhol, Michelangelo, Jim Davis from Garfield, that sounds awful. What a mess.
Yeah.
I love how proud she's of including Garfield in there, though. Like, this is the peak piece of art.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
It is so good.
And then they go to Mark, or Leslie goes to Mark and says, it's Anne. It's pills.
So messed up. It's so messed up.
It really reminds me of when Michael texts 911 to David Wallace and, well, make up your mind. Like, yes. No one messages me back if I don't say 911. Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
There's so many, like, comparisons between Leslie and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. I do love like Paul's reading also of, oh, God, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, when he's looking at the picture of the mural.
It's so well done.
Ugh. And then Bill Paxton, side note on Donna's, is not from Indiana. He's from Fort Worth, Texas. So FYI on that.
Is Bill Paxton from Indiana?
Right. Oh, yeah. He's not on Donna's mural. They just talk about him.
Yeah.
But, she just says something. Yeah, she just says his name. Had you guys heard of the camel reference before? Like what it actually means?
No.
I know. I wonder if that's something that they use in like government or corporate offices a lot more. I'm not sure.
It very well could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, horse designed by a committee. I think it's phenomenal.
I think it's great too. Your cats today are like, we are also part of this.
Yeah, they really are. This is why I close the door for the most part, but my carpet is just like not handling how much they scratch at the closed doors.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Anyway. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and I think that's a really phenomenal way to explain that of, like, don't try so hard, maybe. And that, at least that's how I took it. I don't know if that's really what it was meant to be, but, like, you don't have to, like, push so hard. But, you know, anyway, you just, like, do what you can.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love that Jerry grabs his picture, though. He's so ready. He's just like, here it is.
Yeah. I love the, we just smushed it into a thing. That's what Leslie says.
Oh, yeah.
When they're looking at the... I love that, too.
I know. Well, and my thing is, too, it's like, so Ron comes in and he really likes the picture that Mark drew, which is very cookie-cutter situation. And so I recorded this deleted scene because I actually almost had a tie because this could have been my favorite line as well. But listen to...
Yeah. It comforts me.
No, it's totally cookie cutter.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with a cookie cutter. You know what you get with a cookie cutter? Perfectly shaped cookie. Would you rather eat a deformed gingerbread blob or a perfectly shaped little man? I'd rather eat a man. A cookie man. You understand. I'm talking about cookies, right?
Oh my gosh.
Which plays off of his little Andy moment. So.
Yes.
Well, and it makes sense for Ron to like this kind of art anyway, because his office always just features fart. You know, it's just fake art that you like.
Yeah.
Like Mark says that you'd find in like hotel rooms and like just corporate offices. It's completely
that stays
unoffensive
up forever. Yeah. And no one ever even notices that it's there. You know. I think this is this writing of like this metaphor, and maybe it wasn't meant for this. I don't know. But the way that I took it is like it's really a nice metaphor for his character, you know, kind of bland, no point of view, which sounds awful. Mark plays it or Paul Schneider plays it so well. But it's just really interesting to me because Mark's character is very like Sean said, kind of an Eeyore moment, you know, like.
Yes, that is a great way to describe it.
Absolutely. Especially once he gets to the, you know, there's no stand here. It doesn't have a point of view. That's no so stance. Much.
He's Aaron Burr.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back exactly. to Hamilton. Well done, Maddie.
Yes.
Yeah. He's beige, you know?
Yeah, he wants to wait for it, as Aaron Burr says. Where Hamilton, I mean, I go through that all the time where I'm just like, I think, you know, I definitely resonate with Hamilton's line of God help and forgive me. I want to build something that's going to outlive me. That's like my most favorite thing. And I think that's what Leslie is. You know, she's wanting to build something that always is going to be there. And so that's why she's having this torn thing of like that Mark's painting will be there forever. And it'll be something that will represent the Parks Department. So she's like
a legacy.
Legacy. We got to do it. This is going to win. And she's also very competitive. So she wants to defeat the other departments, you know, so.
I think that's
this
one
is
of the
why
most
she and Mark never would have worked though.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, I could cut you
off.
Oh,
no worries. I was going to say I think this is just kind of the thrust of Leslie's character as a whole is that constant battle of virtue and doing what she should do versus mm-hmm. wanting to win always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true. So yeah. true.
Definitely.
I do love that. I'm going to move on to Andy real fast. Do you have anything else to say? No? Okay. So Andy is so naive. I love this when they're talking about, like, because Ron is like, mention what again? We're not going to talk about what again. The moan,
Ron. Ron. That's so good.
And again, City Hall is fucking bumping. There's so many people walking around. And I know that was part of it, too, because they can't get away from each other. But I was like, man, what time is it? Laws being made, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is so good.
Yeah. So now I'm at Chief Connor, where they're all going to give their murals to City Hall. This guy's name is Barry Sigismondi. Sigismondi. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's Italian, too. I don't know. So sorry for that enactment. Awful. But he's been on a ton of shows as a cop, security guard, law enforcement. Like, he's kind of typecast.
He's got that look.
Absolutely. I couldn't find him anywhere on social media either. So I'll just have to start reaching out to people's agents. You said you couldn't either?
Mm-mm. Okay. I looked.
Yeah. He did great. I thought he was super fun. I'm glad he comes back.
Oh, I do like the ladies with hamburgers. I think that's just so precious. So I was like, aw.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. And the dogs. Oh, my God. It's so funny. I really like that Mark is smart enough to read Leslie's mind about the camel being fun. Like, even if that's what I feel like Mark is also kind of deeper than meets the eye in a sense, because even if he's bland, he gives people permission to be fun. He just almost needs permission for himself to be fun.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like Leslie, that's something that Leslie does, and that's something that even Anne does. I think in some regards, but I like that he's smiling as they go in. That moment is really beautifully played. Muriel, my God, what is going on? I just think that's really acted well, because he's just so happy for them, you know? And I think that's so great, because I feel like if they didn't, you know, they didn't take his mural in, so he definitely could have been like, oh, that sucks. Like, I wanted them to take my mural in and be selfish and stuff, but that's just not who he is. So, and I think he wants to be part of it. He wants to have a happy moment, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. And he gets that with Ron hanging his picture in Ron's office, which is very sweet.
Yeah. I like that.
I do have something to say about the committee. If you have anything else, though, go ahead. No? Okay. Okay. So this lady on the committee that's asking all the questions. Okay, so her name is Stephanie McVeigh. And oh my God, she is in The Office. Did you guys recognize her at all?
No. Who did she play?
Oh my God. Okay. So she's the one at the baptism for Cece. I was looking her up on IMDb, and her literal name in The Office is Sconesy Cider.
Sconesy?
She's Sconesy Cider?
She's Sconesy Cider. That's cracking up when I read that character name. I laughed out loud. But yeah, she's the one that's like, just the one jug of apple cider.
That's amazing. Love
she's
it.
So wonderful. Yeah, she's great. Stephanie McVeigh. That's her name. So good job, Stephanie.
Beautifully done, Sconesy Cider.
Right. Exactly. I love that April is also laughing in this. Like, I wonder if that was scripted, because they start to, like, Leslie starts explaining the mural and April starts laughing. And I think it was scripted, honestly, but it definitely could have been improvised, because then everyone else starts kind of laughing. And either that, or it was acted very well in the moment, because they were all just having a really good time.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense for her to laugh too, because I think a lot of times she feels like an outcast, because she doesn't care about the stuff that they're working on and everything, and this is something she contributed to, and they took her weirdness and made it part of their project, and so she feels included now, and I feel like so it's so natural for her to be laughing with them.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely, that's so true. Love that. I think that the multimedia project that she did was really interesting. I wouldn't have even thought to, like, put my phone on
with knee surgeries replay.
Like, what the fuck.
Gross.
Oh, April.
Oh, what a
just
weird
a whole bunch
brain.
Of gross.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, now I'm at where Tom has this moment of, you know, he wants more art done. And so, again, he's being really mean, though, because he, again, this is all just anger because he is frustrated with himself, I think, for not having, like, understood what his emotions mean towards this piece of art. And the whole thing of, like, shut up and do more art for me. I'm just like, bitch.
Yeah. Well, and he picks one up. He goes, this one's racist.
Yeah. And it's like, how?
I know. It's a circle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, buddy.
I have one last thing to say, and it was a deleted scene that I think is so fascinating. So it's really random, but I think I need to share it. There's this random, because I have no idea where it would have gone. Maybe it was another tag. I don't know, because it doesn't really connect with literally anything in this episode. But so Tom is pranking Leslie. You know how Tom pranks Leslie frequently, you know, especially with the Larry Bird picture and saying that it was from Larry Bird, but it wasn't actually. I think this was along this similar line where he hands her Sarah Palin's book and he says, you must have made an impact when you met her, because apparently Leslie saw her give a speech or something. And she says, you know, whatever you think about her politics, she's a fascinating person, says Leslie. And I recorded it because I think it's really funny. And so all that backstory, this is what happens next. She's reading from the book.
Page. For Leslie. See page 217. She signed it?
Wow.
I may have stumbled, but the way is now clear for a great woman from the heartland, some young Lady Lincoln, to ride into the White House. A woman like Leslie Knope. What?
Get out of here.
I learned of Ms. Knope while campaigning in Indiana, and I loved her brand of in-your-face patriotism. Behind every great woman is a great man, and in this case, a greatly sexy man, Tom Haverford.
Please, go on. Often the only thing that keeps me warm on a cold Alaskan night is the thought of Tom Haverford's brown thighs rubbing gently against my calves. Wow, really great writing.
Rose!
That's graphic. It got graphic.
It's so graphic. And the picture, I'll have to post it, but I took a picture of the actual page, because they show a picture of the book, the page that he was reading. And it's just like, it keeps going. Often I fantasize that Tom Haverford is a wolf and I'm trying to shoot him from my helicopter, but then I trap him and we made love, him fully naked, me in just my glasses and knee-high furry new boots. It's like a literal picture of the book that they show on screen.
Oh, my God.
So somebody wrote that for, like, a two-second payoff that got cut. So I'm just like, damn.
Wow, wow, wow.
That is tragic. Oh, man.
Sleazy Tom, y'all. Sleazy Tom.
Sleazy Tom.
Ooh. Again, we love a C's, but Tom, you cray. Well, that was the camel.
Yay. Yes.
We did it! Thank you, Chris, so much for being here. This was so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me, y'all. This is delightful. It was so fun to rewatch this episode.
Yay! Okay, well, Chris, what are you working on now? What can we talk about and, like, plug for you? Oh. Or, like, how can people find you on social media? All that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. Thank you for asking. Across the board, I am at Actor Chris Carr. Chris, K-R-I-S-C-A-R-R. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram that way. I'm a teacher at EEB Studios. I have a voiceover program that is a three-month program that starts with intro and then 2 months of advance and gets you agent ready if you are interested in pursuing voiceover. And then you can just listen for me in some stuff. I voice some banks. I voice some video games. If you're playing Blade and Soul, we've got a new extension coming out, and I'm the baddies in that. Yeah.
You just recorded an audiobook.
I did just record an audiobook. Thank you for bringing that up. Quarantine, Life from Cholera to COVID-19. It was written actually by my college roommate, Kari Nixon, who is brilliant, and we had this beautiful full circle moment. Because when we were roommates, we would talk about how I was going to be an actor and how she was going to be a writer. And then, you know, like a decade later, we're doing it. So,
yeah,
we're pretty pleased with that.
That is so wild to me. That is so kismet and crazy, right? And only happens once in a lifetime.
It's great. And her book, whether you want to do the audiobook, which is my thing, or read the actual physical text, which I highly recommend. It's a really, really great book that does talk about pandemics over the course of history, being prepared or as prepared you can be for this sort of thing, And it also does talk about kind of how we have to have conversations across the aisle, no matter what, not to get super political on your podcast here.
No, that I'm here for it.
But it was,
we do.
It
That's
was
so true.
Really important. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I lost people during COVID. And so it was a really, really challenging thing to not only voice, but accept that kind of discussion. And it really helped me a lot of, you know, no, vaccines are a privilege, and we should really, it shouldn't be politicized. We should just make sure we do it because we're all in this shit together, y'all. She would, she puts it much more articulately than I. That's why she's the writer.
No, I think you said that so well. Mm. What's the book called again?
Quarantine Life from Cholera to COVID-19.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. And you said that you were doing, I wanted to share this with people too, because like you worked so hard on it. So you were up at like 4 a.m. recording this, right? Because of, explain that.
There's construction in my neighborhood, and there will be for the next 2 years.
Oh my God.
They're renovating the high school next door to us. Foolishly, when I moved in here 7 years ago, I was like, hey, can you hear a lot of the high school? And they were like, no, you can't hear the high school at all.
Lies.
They have band practice for hours. They set off fireworks every time there's a football game. It's ridiculous. So I'm just this crotchety old lady who's shouting at Utes all the time. Being like, why is your pep rally so
shouting
loud?
Shouting at Utes.
Turn down the Rihanna. But so yeah, I'd have to, because of all the construction, obviously there's no school, but all this construction, I'd have to get in the booth by 4 a.m. so I could give myself 2 hours of recording time, because that's usually when trucks would start lining up, was around 6. And, you know, Holly, like with vocal training, it's real fun in the morning trying to warm up real fast and get in there. Extra fun when you have to do dialects and Victorian words and medical jargon. But we got it done, so I'd either do the really early ones or I'd do super late ones after, you know, the construction workers were gone and rush hour had died down. Because I'm just recording, I do have the booth, but I'm basically in an apartment that's built out of balsa wood and sparklers. Like, I'm gonna get lead poisoning here. They had to sign a waiver, so either I'm gonna get really cool X-Men powers or die a horrible Victorian death.
I hope it's the X-Men powers.
Man, I'm hoping. That'd be really great.
Either one is a noble cause.
Either way, hopefully I'll end up on a murder podcast. And then Patty, you can listen to it. It'll be great.
All full circle. Oh, my God. Well, that's awesome. I really like that a lot. And, yeah, oh, my God. Warming up is rough. I mean, I don't think people think about that when they think about voiceover. Because, obviously, for singing, you've got to warm up. But, like, if you're speaking and using your voice and you're, like, you know, shouting or, you know, just doing all these different things that you've got to not break for, or drink a lot of water so that you don't come off like dry mouth or whatever. Like,
can hear me gulping throughout this podcast.
No,
because I go through like 5 of these a day. And when you do the books and stuff too, like I don't know about you, but if I have a whole bunch of performances come out, I don't have caffeine, I don't have alcohol, which adds to the super fun time of deadlines and
anxiety.
Yeah, we're like, I can't have any of my coping mechanisms. Oh man.
I know. I feel that. I know. I need to be better about caffeine, honestly, before singing. Like, I mean, I don't do it like right before singing, obviously, or even a lot of the times the day of, but I do it like the day before. And sometimes they say that that's like one of the things that bleeds over into the next day if you've had a lot, you know, so.
Exactly. And you know how it was when we both worked at an acting school together.
3-2 chums.
3-2 chums. I mean, we were going through jugs of Starbucks. It was ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Just so we could deal with, you know, stage parents and children and the everything of that job.
And the everything is a great way to put it. Yeah. It's sad because I really did like teaching. I do like teaching, you know. That was one of my most favorite jobs, but it's a lot. But I will say that Mia, it should be named anyways because she's wonderful. Mia Topalian, go follow her. She was part of the 3-2 chums, worked at that studio with us. But also, isn't she on an episode of Criminal Minds too?
She is on an episode of Criminal Minds.
Yeah, Maddie. So that's why I was going to... I don't know what episode it was. I'll have to look it up, but I watched her.
Mia has a website and social media and all that stuff too.
She's fully in it.
She's great,
Yeah, she is an actual small business entrepreneur.
She just had a Lifetime movie come out a couple months ago, too.
Yeah. Oh, And her Shoelace movie that I can't remember the name of.
Shoelaces for Christmas.
Shoelaces for Christmas. We love Mia. So good. Well, okay. Well, we'll tag you and everything and all of the things that you're doing in our show notes and online. So keep an eye out for that.
Cool.
If you guys, yay. If you guys haven't rated or reviewed the pod, please do that. That'd be awesome. Or now they've got this new thing where you've got to click the plus button at the top of Apple Podcasts to subscribe to it. It used to be like a little subscribe button, but now there is a plus. So if you haven't done that, please do that. And the very last thing that I wanted to mention, just really quickly, I know we're running short on time, but we got a really sweet message from a gal, who wrote us a really wonderful review, and I asked her if I could share her story with us, with everybody, which I thought, and she said that it was, she said that that was fine, but she at first messaged because she was like, I really would love you to get Ben Schwartz on. And I was like, oh, my God, me too.
Yeah.
I don't know
love
how.
Ben Schwartz.
But, yeah, I will do He's my brilliant. Damnedest to do that. I'll reach out to his agent, too. because I don't think he's one of those that is going to, like, message.
He's got too much crap going on right now. He's getting big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. But anyway, so I'm going to read this story. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it because I think it's really sweet. So, I've been fighting like a damn warrior with cervical cancer since 2017. I'm going to be just fine. It's just shit that makes me stronger. Anyway, in 2019, it came back and I had to go through radiation and chemo. I live in Florida, the Tampa Bay area, but I had to go back to her hometown, my hometown of Philadelphia, to live with my parents while going through treatment at Penn Medicine. My dad had never seen Parks and Rec, but was a huge fan of The Office, and me vice versa. I refused to watch The Office. I watched the first episode of the first season and hated it because I thought he was so obnoxious, which fair. Honestly, first episode, yeah. So my dad and I carved out an hour after dinner to watch one episode of Parks and Rec and one Office. We obviously started both at season one, episode one. He ended up really liking Parks and Rec, and I ended up a hardcore Office fan, especially Jim. She has a drooling emoji. I have a Leslie mug and a Ben mug too. But these pieces of jewelry are my fave, which I gotta send you the pictures. She has like pictures of earrings that are so sweet. They're like of Jim and Pam and they're so fun. But anyway, she said, so she just sent me that message and kind of thanked us for like having the podcast. And then there was something else. I asked her if she was still going through treatment, and she says she's about to go through treatment again, but she lives a normal life and everything. And she says that I could tell her story and give out her handle because she wants to like help people maybe going through the same thing or whatever. And she had another podcast that was a Parks and Rec podcast that she was listening to, but she said that they pod ghosted, which I thought was a super fun term.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened with that podcast, but her name is Allison, and you can follow her at AllisonIsrael82. And wow, that really was amazing for me to hear. And I just love hearing that people are really resonating and getting along with us and feeling like they're at home while they're listening and making them feel better. It really, truly means a lot to us because we have so much fun doing it. And we work really hard at bringing research and fun to the show that already is so fun. So thank you, Allison, for that review. And I really appreciate it. Honestly, that means so much to us.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll get through it, Allison. I had cervical cancer and I was diagnosed in 2009. And I did two procedures to remove the cancer. So it sounds like you're going through something much more in-depth than I went through. But I understand how scary it can be. And just also, yeah, it can just be this annoying thing that you have to deal with in your life, too, that kind of bleeds into the day-to-day. So hang in there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Keep going. And we've got you. So I will get fucking Ben Schwartz somehow.
Yeah.
I'll get him. Yeah, that's amazing. So I really appreciate you sending that in. And we are on your side all the way. So we're sending you love and good vibes and healing all the time. So thank you. Is there anything else that you ladies need to say? We're not going to do a therapy session because I know that we're running a little over and Maddie has a celebration to get to for her engagement.
Yay!
We moved it. We're good.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, we've been talking for 2 hours, so I'm sure we kind of...
No, that's fair.
Whenever we have guests, I feel like we kind of mix in therapy with it, so...
we went on some tangents, so I think we're good.
Yeah. Is there anything that you need to get off your chest or explain, Chris? Or
I mean, I'm very on board with Allison on you getting Ben Schwartz on here. Wow. Yeah. Love him. Yep. Obsessed with him. And if y'all haven't watched Middleditch and Schwartz, that special is so good. I watch that wedding episode at least once a week, I think. And also, if you just want to have a really, if you want a really nice day, there's so many bloopers. Like, there's an hour long compilation, I believe, of all the bloopers from Earliest Show, which is what he did for, on College Humor. And Allison, in particular, I think you would love that if you like Ben Schwartz.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. Yeah, that's a great idea. And he's also in Modern Family. I was just it's very Grizzle-esque, I feel, because the closet company is going through, you know, the new changes of high advanced technology and all that kind of like workspace WeWork situation. But yeah, he's like the head. He's the Yorma of Modern Family, essentially.
Yeah.
It is pouring down rain out here, so that's fun.
Dang.
I know, crazy. It just started. But anyways, okay. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Chris, for being here.
Yes, thank you. I'll have to do it again.
So fun.
Please.
Do any of you guys have anything else going on for the day?
I'm going to teach somebody in 7 minutes.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, have so much fun teaching. What about you, Maddie?
I have 45 venues saved that Ivan and I are going to go through and try to get them down. Because we're not going to go visit 45 venues. That's ridiculous.
No. Got to figure out which ones.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And I got to talk to my mom because it sounds like she's extending her stay to stay a little bit longer. It's just a couple weeks, but, you know, maybe we can fit dress shopping in while she's here before she goes, because we don't know when she'll get back. So it's like, if I don't find one with her here, then we might have to, like, push the wedding if it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel. Oh, that's crazy. Well, I hope that she can stay for longer.
Yeah.
You know, and every little bit counts. I mean.
You're telling me, girl. I lived without her for 16 months, so.
Yeah.
Never again. Never again.
Ah, crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Maddie, if I still. Oh, I do. I think I still have it. I have a spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet that breaks things up by the months of like tasks to do. And that way you don't have to do something like the knot, which I found very, very stressful because it would like tell you all this stuff that was past due regardless of what you were doing.
Right, regardless of what like your timeline was.
Yeah, and then the Excel one, if there's things on there that don't serve you, you can just delete it and be like, fuck it, I don't want to do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll try to find that.
I would definitely use that. And then Randy, my stepdad, is also a big sprint. Randy and Ivan. Ivan literally has a shirt that I got him that said, I have a spreadsheet for that because that's who he is. But he's got a like
which
a
is
financial
wild,
'cause
he wasn't like that. It's so crazy to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But which you started.
I did. I created a monster. I really did.
Which is great. I think it's great. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Anyway, no, yeah. He has a budgeting one. So it's like if I have one that tells me what to do in the timeline and then a budgeting one, we're gonna be good.
Okay. So. Well, that's good. I know that's super helpful to have like a timeline, but also like we talk about with lists. I mean, if you can put something in a category of like do whenever or do by this time instead of like you have to do it today or within the week, it helps stress levels. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It really, really does. Yeah.
Wedding planning is just so much. So we wish you luck and help and healing also.
Thank you. But you're stuck in this with me, so.
Yes, that is true. I'm getting ready. I am getting ready.
I have like so many things saved that I'm like, send these to Holly. But I was like, I'm going to wait till after the thing so that I can tell her to prepare for 15 million text messages with pictures.
Oh, please. You don't have to prepare me. You know me.
I do know.
I'll just respond when I can and we'll get it going.
Yeah. Good.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thank you again for listening. And
as
I hope
always.
That you have a wonderful rest of your day, week, all the things. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy, too.